I'd like to read verses 42 through the end of the chapter of Acts 2. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Hear the word of the Lord. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray together. God of light and life, we ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, so that we may not only hear your word preached today, but then see your word lived out in our lives and in your world. Through Christ our Lord, the light of the world, we pray. Amen. Well, it's a new year, and before we, Lord willing, start our series in the epistles of John next Sunday, I thought we would just take one morning as a natural time to reflect on what is it that we do as a church? What is our purpose? How are we to go about doing church? Where are we to spend our time and our focus and our resources as a church? And I know that's a large question, and it's one we think about often, but Acts 2, for many years now, has been just seminal in my thinking about this question. What are we to be about doing as a church? And in this passage, you have just a little snapshot. It's a cameo glimpse of exactly what the earliest Christians were doing in those days right after Pentecost. And there's something about it that I just find so appealing. I think it's the simplicity of it, the straightforward focus that you find here, the no frills. It's just pure, it's simple, it's straightforward, it's uncomplicated, and it's enthusiastic. Let's just focus on this for a moment and see how they did church. First, in verse 42, you see they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to apostolic teaching. The first and perhaps most important hallmark of the early church is the growth in knowledge of the scriptures, the growth in knowledge of sound theology, doctrine, exposition, explanation, being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Word of God go hand in hand. And it should be the hallmark of any Bible-believing church. It's the backbone of any healthy church. That's why we emphasize this so much. This is precisely why we emphasize Bible teaching, Bible preaching, catechism, Bible reading. That's why these men are taking the time to meet, even on a Sunday when we don't have Sunday school, to encourage people to daily feast in the Word of God, daily pledge their allegiance to the apostles' teaching. That's why when we come together on Sunday mornings, you will notice, I hope, we call the people to worship with the Word of God. We pray prayers modeled after the Word of God. We sing songs written from the Word of God. We sing at least one psalm every Sunday from the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. We pray the Word of God. We sing the Word of God. We come to the table and have a visible picture of the Word of God. We close the service with a benediction from the Word of God. We give allegiance to God's Word because that's exactly the plan that God lays out for His church. And we see that here in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, what else did they devote themselves to? The apostles' teaching and the fellowship, or literally the commonality. The idea being it is important for God's people to get together and enjoy worship, enjoy meals, enjoy fellowship together. It's important for God's people to get together and participate in the local life of the church, to stimulate one another to holiness, to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord, to encourage one another in the hard times in life. And you'll notice it also includes the idea of cost, of giving, of sacrificing for one another. What does it say they're doing here? Verse 45, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Friends, that's not communism. They have their own possessions. They have their own stuff. But when they see a brother and sister in need, because it's a fellowship, because it's a family, and they dedicated themselves to that family, to that fellowship, if someone had a need, they stepped up to meet it. What else are they doing in fellowship? Day by day, they're attending the temple together, coming together for corporate worship. This is the fellowship. What are they also doing? Breaking bread in their homes. Fellowship in the home. So acts of mercy, acts of kindness, acts of worship, acts of meals together. That's what's included in this idea of devoting yourselves to the fellowship. What's the third thing we see them doing? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They also devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That is the frequent celebration of the sacraments, the frequent celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, Christ and his atoning work, visibly and physically and tangibly. Christ and his atoning work, where you can put it in your mouth and taste it and smell it and know that it's that real. That's an important part of the Christian life, examining ourselves. That's what we do when we come to the Lord's table. That's what we do when Paul tells us not to come in an unworthy manner, but to search your heart, examine your heart, see where there's sin, repent of it, and be assured anew of the Lord's forgiveness through the blood of Christ. That is vital to the ongoing health of the church. I love our tradition because we take communion the first Sunday of every month. That means every new year, the very first Sunday of a new year, we come to the Lord's table. That's a wonderful way for a follower of Christ to begin a new year, by repenting, turning to Christ, receiving his forgiveness and acknowledging his work at the cross. That's what we're going to do, Lord willing, in just a few moments. That's a special way to bring in a new year. Essential to the work of the church. What's the fourth thing we see the early church doing here? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And fourthly, they devoted themselves to the prayers. There's a definite article there. It suggests that there were specific types of prayers. And we see that modeled throughout Scripture, right? Prayers of vindication, prayers of illumination, prayers of forgiveness, intercessory prayers, all these types of prayers. Perhaps are just frequent prayer meetings. I think that's an important part of a healthy church too. Lord willing, we'll be getting back to that this month more frequently. Notice also, they're doing these things, we're told, verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and in their homes. So you have this, I think, a beautiful mix, a beautiful balance of these things are happening both on an informal scale in the homes during the week. These things are happening in the lives of individual believers, perhaps more informally as part of life during the week. But then you have that regular rhythm of a more formal approach to this, of all of God's people coming together in the temple, or in our case, in the church, on the Lord's Day, and doing these things in a more formal way together. The word, sacrament, prayer, and fellowship. These are the basic spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. I look at this, and I see this is how to do church. This is the block and tackle. This is the scale and arpeggio. This is the nuts and bolts. This is the plan that God gives us. And then he calls us to devote ourselves to working the plan. In fact, look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to these things. Literally in the Greek, it's they continually devoted themselves to these things. They continually devoted themselves to the Word of God. They continually devoted themselves to the fellowship. They continually devoted themselves to the prayers. They continually devoted themselves to the sacraments. Just this simple, enthusiastic, single-minded devotion to the basic disciplines or means of grace. Trusting, believing, exercising faith all the time that God has promised these are the ways he is going to draw people to himself. These are the ways he is going to save lost sinners. These are the ways he's going to grow his people in Christ-likeness and finding nourishment. Don't ever underestimate the spiritual nourishment that comes to you through devoting yourself to these disciplines. The church is not to just be about programs. The church is not to just be about complicated levels of committees. The church is not to be just about frantic doing this and doing that. The church is certainly not to be about entertainment. But devoting ourselves for a love of Christ, to the Word, sacrament, prayers, and fellowship. This is where God wants to spend us to spend our time and our attention and our resources and do church. And I'll tell you, the degree to which a church loses sight of this, and I see this all the time, the degree to which a church gets distracted from this and spends its time and energy somewhere else, the degree to which a church looks at this and says, no, that's too simple, there's got to be more to this, the degree to which a church strays from this, proportionately, will see itself losing the power of the Holy Spirit, losing its basis, a fellowship basis in Christ, losing its ability to reach lost souls, and it will become an impotent social club. Friends, we don't need more impotent social clubs. What we need are churches devoted to believing in God's ordinary means of grace and flourishing, therefore, in the Holy Spirit. And what happens to a local body of Christ that does love and devote itself to the Word, sacrament, prayers, and fellowship? We see that in our passage too. God blesses that. God blesses that. First, look at verse 43. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Look what flows from this. These Christians who come together on a weekly basis and devote themselves to the Word, sacrament, prayer, and fellowship, what they find over time is a sense of awe comes over their soul. Can you relate to that? A sense of reverence. A sense of there's something more to life than the 70 brief years I get here. A sense of eternity. A sense of the presence of a holy God. Now, I don't think the ability to perform miracles still exists today in specific people. I think that was limited to the apostles and their close associates. But I sure believe God answers prayer. And I see it regularly, and I see it in our own church where I would describe us as a body devoted to these things. That's no coincidence. Second thing that happens to a local body that devotes itself to the word, sacrament, prayer, and fellowship. Verse 46, at the end of 46, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Not only a heart that's marked with awe and reverence, but he says they also had hearts that were marked with praise and thanksgiving. In other words, they were joyful. They had reason to be joyful. If you went up to them and asked, well, what's your secret to having such a thankful attitude? What's your secret to having such a joyful attitude? Even through the low points in life, they would have a ready answer. It's because I know the Lord Jesus Christ and He's forgiven me of my sins. And I follow after Him daily. I seek Him in His Word. I seek Him in His fellowship. I pray to Him. I come to His table and I'm fed by Him. I have a joy that transcends this world, and it's a gift of God. And again, they're doing this not just in their homes, not just in their private lives, but also in the temple, coming to church weekly. That has an effect on you. It can't not, because God has promised to bless that. The third thing that happens, the church that loves and devotes itself to word, sacraments, prayer, and fellowship. Verse 47, end of 47. They're praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. God steadily adds to the local body that is devoted to word, sacrament, prayer, and fellowship. And they saw that. We've seen that. I've been here enough years to see it happen here. God adding to His people. God blessing His people when they do church His way. The reverent, joyful, awe-filled church who is faithfully and regularly ministering the Word of God, praying, coming to the table, devoting itself to the fellowship, is like a beacon to a fallen world. It in and of itself is a witness, a testimony to the power of the gospel and the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit. It can't not draw people to that. God says to His church, here's my plan for church. Work the plan, and I will bless it. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the growth. He takes care of the rest. And He does. Friends, I look at our own church and I say this with a thankful heart. I see a bunch of people who are devoted to the Word of God, devoted to this fellowship, devoted to the sacraments, devoted to a genuine prayer life. And it's no coincidence that I also see people whose hearts are marked with awe and joy and thankfulness through the ups and downs of life. And it's a church that's drawing people and welcoming people. And you know how much credit we get for that? You know how much credit I as the pastor get for that? Zero. Zero. We're just working the plan by God's grace and watching God bless it. Pretty simple when you think about it. And when you do this, Sunday after Sunday, 52 Sundays a year, year after year, decade after decade, what you see is a strong church being built before your very eyes. A church that will stand against the gates of hell. A church that, when a pandemic hits 18 months ago, we don't shut down and stop. We keep doing what the Lord has called us to do. It's amazing. When I look at the churches, and I don't mean this to be critical. I do mean this to be critical. When I looked at the churches 18 months ago that just shut down and quit doing church, it's no coincidence that those same churches, to a T, were the same churches that didn't get any of this before the pandemic. The impotent social clubs. But the churches that get this by God's grace know what to do. when a pandemic hits. You continue devoting yourselves to word, sacrament, prayer, and the fellowship. Those are essential to the Christian life. Essential. You may have to find creative ways to do it, and we have. It simply keeps doing what it does and rests in the hands of God. Boy, that's a good place to be. I'd say that's where we've been for the last 18 months. Keep doing what we're doing, resting in the hands of God. And you know what? He's going to see us through, and he has. I could tell story after story about his faithfulness. Church that does that in the long run, by God's grace, is going to endure, and it will not be shaken. Friends, what a blessing to begin the year 2022.